Let's take a moment to pray and ask God to help us as we look at that reading that was done today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have access to your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can worship you freely. We can honor your name, O God. And we pray that as we heard today, Father, we pray that as we hear your word, O God, we pray your word will take root in our lives. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought I'll just start another a new series called The Christian Vocabularies or Christian Fundamentals. If you realize, I think as Christians, we have certain vocabularies, right? Some of the vocabularies are, you know, we talk about love, right? We talk faith. We talk about commitment. We talk about joy, right? Can you name some of them? Some Christian vocabularies. When you pray itself, you'll know. We have a lot of vocabularies, right? We ask for God's mercy, right? We ask for God's forgiveness. We talk about eternal life, and you know. And so these are some of our vocabularies, right? Those are not only our vocabularies, but they are our fundamentals, right? So it's important for us to know some of the fundamentals in our life, because when we know the fundamentals or the vocabulary right, it helps us. It helps us in our love for God and also in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I thought I would look at the word. We use the word commitment, right? We say, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, we commit our church to you. Lord, we commit even our offerings to you. So we tend to use that word commitment. But it's a very strong word. Many times, you know, whether we like it or not, right, we use it very lightly. Lord, we commit. But it's a very strong and a very powerful word. And so I thought today we will just spend some time looking at this particular word, right? And from Mark chapter 4, 14 to 20. It's a very strong word. It's important. I think all of us want to be committed wherever we are, right? We want to be committed in our workplace, the task that is given to us, the responsibilities that has been given to us. We want to be committed. We want to be doing maybe more than 110%, right? We want to be sincere in the to discharge the things that have been given to us. And I think we want to be committed to our lives, to our families, right? To the things, you know, we have been assigned to, which is wonderful. And similarly, I think we need to be committed to the church, to loving God, right? And also to be serving Christ. But let me tell you, it's not easy. Right? It's not easy. It can be a struggle, because when I was looking at reading the life of Peter, the Apostle Peter, remember, you know, when Jesus was having a conversation with him in Luke chapter 22, you know, Jesus was saying, Lord, Peter, I'm praying for you. I was just wondering for a moment, just trying to put myself in the situation and trying to imagine what was happening in the mind of Peter. Probably Peter was saying, Lord, I don't need your prayer because I'm strong. I'm always there for you, right? I'm there to give my life for you. Maybe you need to pray for John because you can't trust that guy. Maybe you need to pray for Thomas because he's always doubting, right? Pray for Simon the Zealot because someday he's going to rebel against you. Maybe they need more prayers than me. Right, I think maybe Peter would have said, thought of that in similar ways, but he was saying, Lord, I'm just ready. Can you imagine the commitment he was saying? Lord, I'm just ready to give my life for you anytime, anywhere. I'm just ready to give my life for you. But Jesus says, no, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, right? And when you look at this story, I think it tells us Peter had good intentions. Wonderful, powerful intentions, good commitment. Lord, I will never. You just trust me, right? I'll just die together with you. But unfortunately, there was no good follow-up, right? And similarly, now in our Christian life, Peter had very good intentions. He was the right man, you know. He was the man for, you know, Jesus, whom Jesus can trust, but he did not follow up. Similarly, in our Christian's life, we want to be committed, right? We want to be committed in our life. We want to be committed to the things that God has given to us. We want to be faithful. We want to be just sticking to ourselves in the things that God has given to us. But unfortunately, there are moments in our life we fail, right? We struggle. Let's accept it, right? Even myself too. Yes, I do fail. I do have difficulties too with it. And so it's important for us to look at this vocabulary or our fundamentals, right, in terms of commitment. The passage that we are looking today, it's a passage that talks about, I think you would have heard sermons on this particular passage, the parable of the sower, or sometimes I call it the parable of the soils, right? If you look at this particular passage, it's actually teaching us, right? Jesus is not just if you look at the passage very carefully, Jesus is not just teaching them about planting, about sowing seeds. It's trying to help them to distinguish what is commitment and what is expected from us, because there is always a fine line. If you look at the scriptures very carefully, Paul writes it very vividly by saying there's always a struggle that is in us, the flesh and the spirit, right? And there's always a dualism that has always been seen in scriptures, right? The law and the grace, the light and the darkness. There is always some kind of a struggle that's happening in our lives. So the passage is a passage that talks about soil. And so it talks about, a rocky soil. Firstly, it talks about the seeds that were sown, that was dispersed, that fell on the pathway, the roadside, right? I think you know the story pretty well, right? It fell on the roadside, it was hard, and it was not growing. Secondly, some of the seeds fell on rocky places, and those also did not last. Thirdly, it was on thorny grounds, right? The thorns were there, it choked the word, and there was no growth. And finally, the good soil, the receptive ones, that was able to absorb and engage, and finally you see there was a lot of produce that was happening. It's a very known story, right? It's a very known story. When I look at it, I realize, there are four kinds of Christians here, right? Unfortunately, what's happening, it's only one who is producing, right? There are four kinds of, they have received the word, they have heard the word, but there's only one who's able to produce 30 or even 100-fold, my friend. And God wants us to be that particular one from this particular passage. So I think it's important for us as Christians not only to just look at the soil, just to be careful. As Paul writes, we need to be alert, we need to be sober, we need to be looking at it very carefully and how it affects my commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, when I was trying to put a theme for this sermon, I was tempted to put the word casual or committed, because our Christian life can become very casual, right? Can become very routine, right? And we might fall away from commitment. The first thing, when you look at the first word, the first with the farmer or the sower is throwing the seeds or distributing the seeds. Some of them fell on the hard ground, right? In the roadside ground. I see here the word of God and the work of Satan. The word of God and the work of Satan that's happening in this particular place. That's why if you look at scriptures very carefully, scriptures is always telling us to be alert, be on the watch, right? And in Matthew chapter 13, you read about the weed and the tares that's happening, when the man is sleeping. The enemy comes and he sows the tares so that it grows together with the weed. So we need to be alert. So what's happening here, right? The word of God and the work of Satan, which is happening. Firstly, when Satan comes, it says, some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, they have heard the word, right? They have heard the word of God. As soon as they hear it, who comes? Immediately, Satan comes. Immediately, my friend. Can you imagine? Satan sees it's very urgent. He comes immediately, right? He doesn't wait for the next moment. It's not tomorrow. He comes immediately because he doesn't want the word to take root in our lives. He's there immediately. And let me tell you, that's a real world that we live in. There's always a spiritual warfare that's happening, my friend. There's always a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Satan and demon is always active. As we are sitting here, he's trying to tell us, maybe this sermon is not for you. Right? This word doesn't apply to you. And that's the way He works in our lives. He comes immediately. He sees, you know, he comes and takes the opportunity. He wants to take the word away from us, right? Satan takes away. And right, and in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. In 1 Peter, Peter writes to the church, right? The same Peter that I was telling, right? Who was so energetic, but finally he was not able to stand by Christ when Christ needed him. He said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? Can you imagine? Satan, he is there. Can you imagine? You know, he is just wanting to take that seed away from us so that you and I are not growing. You know, when I look at this particular word, I realize, and I was just thinking of Adam and Eve, what was happening in the garden, right? Like, he comes, he wants to take the seed away from them, and so what happens? I think he brings guilt. He brings guilt, he brings shame, but then what happens? I think he brings fear in our lives. That's the way. He makes us guilty and says, you're not worthy, you're a sinner, you're a condemned sinner. You're the worst of all sinners. And then, and he brings you down and you've become so shameful of your life. As if there is no more redemption, my friend. And so what happens? There's always a fear in you. Right? We distance ourselves away from God. But God works differently. You know, why does he, if you read Romans 10:17, I was asking myself, why is Satan is always wanting to steal that seed away? Why? Because if you look at Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. He knows that when you start hearing God's word, if God's word takes root in your life, you will have faith in Him. In other words, you will start trusting in God, depending on God. He doesn't want you to trust Him, my friend. He doesn't want you to depend on Him. He doesn't want the word of God, you know, to take root in your life. And that's why, you know, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. When we allow the word of God in our life, we absorb God's word, we try to have faith in our life, and He doesn't want that to happen. And so it's important for us, right, to be careful, because He's always trying to take the seeds away. Let me tell you, as a pastor, you know, one of the struggles is when I'm sitting there watching someone preaching, there's always a tendency in me, right, to see whether the person is expounding the word correctly. Not that I'm perfect in the way, you know, I in my exposition, right, according to Hebrew or Greek, but there's always, you know, a temptation for me or any pastor, right, to see maybe the person could have actually approached the passage in that way. So what's happening? I'm just bisecting. Right, I'm making a judgment there, and I'm doing a homiletical kind of a review, right? Instead of listening to God's word and saying, maybe God has a word for me today, even though I'm a pastor, right? I've gone through my theological education. Maybe God has a word for me. It might be just a simple thing, but God wants to speak to me. But if I'm there with that kind of thinking, if I'm just evaluating the sermon, right, to see whether the Greek word is right, the Hebrew word is right, he should have actually structured it in such a way, there should be a flow. What's happening? I have not allowed God's word. That's another way Satan allows, wants the word not to take root in our life. So we need to be careful, right? When you look at the way God deals, right, God allows time for growth. Satan is always wanting to take it away, but God always wants growth, right? I came that they might have time, that they may have time and have it about life and have it abundantly. It's not time, it's life. Right? So God allows time for growth, but Satan, no. Let me tell you, you cannot be an immediate, immediately you are transformed into a 360 degrees kind of a Christian. The seed has to grow. You need to allow, you need to fertilize the thing, you need to nourish the thing. You need to water the thing. You need opportunities, right environment, right moisture for growth. You need to allow, and that's the way God works. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, the writer says that there is always a time for everything. In verse 11, he talks about it, you know, that in his time, God has made things all beautiful in his time, my friend. And so sometimes in our Christian lives, there's always a temptation, you know, I want to be immediately like that. I want to be a saint tomorrow. And I think, you know, each and every one of us, right, even myself too, I have to work, I have to study God's word, I have to accept God's word, I have to allow certain things of God's word to penetrate into my life, or to change my life, right? It takes time. But Satan is always there wanting to steal the seed that is sown in us. Secondly, when you look at the thing, you know, the second soil, it's the rocky soil. I think the rocky soil, we need to be very careful about this one, about faith and feeling, right? When I was looking at this particular verse, I was really fascinated, you know. As a pastor, I was very happy because what is happening here? Others are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Can you imagine? Oh, they are filled with joy. I don't see in any others. They're excited. They are jumping around. You know, then maybe as a pastor, I would say, maybe they got it right, not others. Right? Can you see the joy, the excitement, the passion that's there? But be careful. Be careful. There is, you know, there is feelings are good, emotions are good. But I think faith is the key. Right? Emotions are good. Yes, people come to the altar and they are in tears. Yes, that's wonderful. I'm not saying no, because the Spirit of God convicts us, right? But just let's not lean on feelings alone. It's on faith. So what is happening here? Right? The person is excited, right? Excited because they're jumping around. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm there. Right? I'm there. But then, because there is no root, as I told you, there was no time for growth. There was no discipleship that was happening in the person's life. So what's happening? There was no root. They last for a short time. When? When do they die? Because when trouble and persecution comes, because of the word. Right? Because of what? Because it's not happening. Because, you know, I'm a Christian, so I expect certain things. I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have a problem. Right? I'm a Christian, so I should always have blessings in my life. I'm a Christian, so I should always be prosperous. So, and so what's happening? When those things are not there, sufferings, and I'm faced with sufferings and persecution, you know, what happens? I think, I say, no. This is not for me. Right? This is not for me. Troubles are not for me. And, you know, difficulties are not for me. Someone was asking C.S. Lewis, a great man, you know, saying, you know, who would choose such an unhappy life? Why do you want to choose to become a Christian, right? It's about carrying the cross. It's pain. It's struggle, right? You need to make a lot of sacrifice, right? You can't do whatever you want. You can't do whatever you want. But then this was the response of C.S. Lewis, who was once an atheist. He said, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port, which is actually a wine, would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Because, yes, there are moments of joy, right? There's a moment of love in our lives. There are moments that we will have sufferings and difficulties. We need to be carrying the cross, which can be painful. We need to be found making sacrifices in our life, my friend. Christianity is challenging. Let me tell you, it is challenging. It's not easy. We live in an age and time. They call it the self age of self sedation. In other words, you choose your own way. That's what they say today's age. It's you choose your own way. You decide what you want. That's the age that we are living, my friend. But Christianity can be challenging to an age and time like this, where we allow our own way, right, to be take the upper hand in our life. I was reading a story about a young boy and his sister. You know, they were just climbing up the mountain. And so the sister was telling him, you know, she had difficulty to go up. She said, you know, it's not easy, right? And she said, you know, there isn't any path as I'm going up. I see a lot of rocks. I see a lot of bumps there. And the boy was way up and he said, you know, those are to help you to come up the mountain. Those bumps and those rocks are to help you. So that you, there might be, not be any path there, but those are the ones to help you. That's why if you look at God's word very carefully, you know, in the seven churches that John is writing, he's talking about those who overcome. You see that word repeatedly being used, overcome, those who overcome, those who overcome, right? That's important, my friend. There's joy. So be careful. Feelings are good. Right? Emotions are good. Joy is the key. It's not happiness, right? It's the joy becomes the strength in our life. But the key is faith and having faith in God. Thirdly, looking at the soil, the third soil, I think all of us know it's fall on a thorny ground. And so what's happening here? The wheat and the weeds, right? They look like the same thing. Right, look like the same. And so what's happening? So in verse 18 we read, still others like the seed sown among thorns. They hear the word. Yes, they heard the word loud and clear. Right, they have heard it. Probably they have read it. But what has happened? The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things, right, comes and choke the word. And so they are doubtful. They are very doubtful about. They have doubtful about God, right? They go through life and they say, "Is God able to help me in such a moment like this? In my difficult moments of my life, I've heard God's word, but you know what has happened, right? Like the tares, that they are just beside. They always growing beside you, my friend. You cannot avoid." My wife and I, we like gardening. You know, let me tell you, it's a struggle to maintain your garden, particularly the grass, right? Every time I buy good seeds, even if we went to Buffalo to buy seeds, thinking that, you know, the seeds in Canada is not good, you know, we won't. And even after, you know, we sow the seeds, we ask people when is a good time, you know, to sow seeds and all that. But even then, there are always weeds around. I don't know where they come from. Sometimes, you know, even though I have four eyes, right, I wear glasses, I can't see the difference. It's always there. It's always coming, right? And let me tell you, Christian life will always have your worries, my friend. And so there will always be doubts in our life. One of the doubts is, is God able to help me? Can I trust this God? If God is so powerful, why not help me in such a situation, right? And so when we don't see the hand of God helping us or wanting God to do the things that we want, you know, we become doubtful. We question God's, you know, whether God can be trusted. So doubtful worries are there. Deceitful riches. Yes, I know I'm speaking to a lot of rich people here. Amen? Wow, see, when I say rich people are smiling, they don't want to say amen. Yeah. Yes, riches, you know, money is not bad. Not money is not bad, right? Money is not evil. It's a moral thing. But I think it's the chase of money, right? It's the thing. Jesus did not say, you know, things to the rich man by saying, you know, that you are too rich, or, you know, or speak ill about his richness. But Jesus did not. But I think money, the chase of money is dangerous. I think we need to be very careful, right? And thirdly, the desire for things, right? Yes, all of us have desires. Everyone, right, including myself, all of us have desire. We desire to have the latest things. We want to have, we desire so many things in our life, for our families, right, our personal desires. There are so many desires we have. It's not wrong. But when they become the idol of our life, when they shift the priority and takes God away, and we're always chasing for our desire rather than chasing God, that becomes a problem. Let me tell you, they hear the word, but the worries of this world, right? They're worried, you know, can God help me? Right? They think money is the answer for everything. Or maybe position, the power is the answer for everything. And they desire, it's not wrong to desire. Abraham was one of the richest men on the planet. Right? And so, when that becomes the idol, it will choke the word, my friend. It looks nice. It's always growing there. But many a times, I know, we need to be very careful to realize that that's not life. That's not what God wants to give us. Right? He wants to give us the weed. Not the wheat, my friend. That's not what God wants us to be involved in. Thirdly, right? Or fourthly, lastly, we'll finish with this, the receptive soil. The good soil. Right, when I look at it, we need to be very careful too. We need to distinguish, as I said, you need to distinguish the work of Satan and the work of God. The way God works, God takes his time. He wants us to accept his word, so that it takes time for growth. We need to be careful with the weeds, right, and the wheat. Two different things. And we need to be careful with the process and the produce. In other words, Christian life can become very routine, as if you're going through a process, right? Yes, did you read your Bible? Yes, I read my Bible. Did you pray? Yes, I did my prayers. You know, it can become a process. It can become a routine, my friend, without really producing anything. In my readings, I've realized, you know, there are many people who are wonderful to go through the process, right? They know what to do. They know how to pray, right? They are doing whatever that is expected. They're involved in ministries, by the way. They're going through the process. They're going through the process. Yeah, they're wonderful people. They're nice people. But I think they need to be not good people, but godly people. I look at the word very carefully. I think what's happening here, right? They hear the word, they accept the word, and doesn't stop there. They produce a crop, my friend. They produce a crop. They hear, they accept it, right? But what's happening? They produce. You see a difference in their life. You see, you can say, and these people are, you know, they are living a Christian life. There is a radical difference that I see in that person's life, in their thought, in their actions and their reactions. You know, they are Christians. There is a difference. They are not just going through the process. They're just not going through the process, but they have really accepted God's word in such a way, they have allowed God's word to take root in their life, that it transforms, it produces. And I say produce, I'm not talking about good works alone, my friend. I think many times whenever we think of produce, we always think of good works, right? In 2 Peter, Peter writes by saying, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasingly they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. In other words, Peter is saying, you want to be fruitful, if you want to be effective, these are the qualities, right? And he talks about the inner qualities. That's the crop. There is a transformation that's happening in your life, my friend. Today we judge people because what they are involved. I'm not saying it's not wrong, but I think the best thing to see an internal transformation that's happening in their life. And Peter is talking about the internal. Right? There is God in us, there is steadfastness, there is self-control. And in Galatians, we I think all of us know, in Galatians we read the fruit of the Spirit is also seen there, right? And it talks about love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The list goes on. Right? And that's how. It's not just because a person is involved in so many ministries. That's wonderful. That's good. I'm not saying no. But they should be the outcome of what's happening inside our lives, my friend. And so these are some of the fruits, right? What's happening? The person is knowing and living in his God, in God's will. They're loving others with the love of Christ. They're exercising forgiveness. These are some of the things. They're utilizing their spiritual gifts where God wants them to use. They're sharing and making disciples for Christ. Right? I think those are important. They are producing a crop, my friend. They're not just going a routine without any internal transformation in their life. They were the same people 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Their life have not changed. Probably they're just going, they're reading one chapter and they have dived to two chapters. Wonderful. But they're not producing. In other words, there's no internal produce. There's no growth inside, right? And they're not showing God's love, kindness, forgiveness. They don't show goodness. So we need to be very careful, right? We can become very casual in our Christian life. Or we can even become committed in our Christian life. We can go through the process, right, without seeing any internal transformation in our life. If that's the case, then it's a process. It's not producing anything in our life. So we need to be careful, right, to be committed. So Jesus said, now let me finish with this, it's very powerful. Jesus said in John 15:5, right, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Very interesting word in the Greek, right? The word abide, when they were translating it, they had difficulty to translate that word. Because in the Greek, the word abide means that you're making your house with God. In other words, you're in the house of God. And, you know, and so they did not know how to come with that word. They just came with the word abide, right? In other words, God, I'm become part of God's house. I take residence. I abide in his house. I'm connected to him. I'm living with him, right? I'm just feeding. I'm in his place, just feeding with the food that God, Christ is giving me. I'm just depending on him. I find residence in his place. That's the word abide. Right? It's not just the word of God just abiding in us. Right? I've taken residence in Christ's home. He is my home. Right? He is the one who's there for me every time. So my friend, I think it's important for us, right, to ask ourselves, are we casual today? Are we committed today? Do we know the difference between the work of Satan and the work of God? Because when God works, he takes time. He takes time. He works allow. He works time, right? And God works beautifully in our lives. But Satan is always there through his different various methods to just rob the word away from you. He doesn't want you to see God's word because he knows that when you start hearing, you'll have faith. You will have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so be careful with faith and feelings too. Right? Feelings are wonderful. But don't depend on feelings. It's faith is the key. Right? They are so excited, joyful. Right? But faith is what we want. Peter had the feeling. He said, Lord, I will give my life. But at last he denied Christ 3 times. Faith. Thirdly, I think we also looked at the word, you know, we need to be careful with the weeds. and the weed, they look the same, right? And we feel, you know, as Christians, we are supposed to be blessed, right? And so I must have this kind of blessing in our life. They might look the same. We need to be very careful, because we tend to question God, whether God is able to do these things, right? It can be deceitful. Money is wonderful, but it can also deceive. Right? Desire is good, but it can become an idol and replace God in our life. Finally, you know, as Jesus was sharing, I think we need to be careful. We can go through the process, right? Process. We are used to it, right? We start our day, we are used to it without having any produce. God is able to help us. Let's abide with Him. Let's take residence in Him. Let's pray. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But we live in a world which says you can do everything. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With Christ, we are able to distinguish what is the work of God and what is the work of Satan. With Christ, we know what is real joy, whether riches just brings joy in our life. With Christ in us, we will know whether we have allowed Him in our lives. We're just going through a process. Or whether we have taken residence in Him. If Christ is really in us, we become transformed in His image. So commitment is a word that we often use. Are we really committed? If we are really committed, then we are not only hearing God's word, accepting God's word, but producing. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives? Can people see the difference in your life? Father, we realize, O God, that without you we can do nothing, Father. We pray, God, that you'll help us in our journey. Help us, Lord, to be committed, and help us, Lord, to know what is real commitment is. It's not just going through a momentum, O God. When we're really committed, Father, we see Christ in us. Lord, we want to pray, O God, against anything, O God, that takes away that commitment away from us. The fears, the worries, the doubts. Even Satan wants to take the word away, Father. He doesn't want us to have faith. Help us, Lord, to overcome. Help us, Lord, to just lean on to you. In Christ's name we pray.